First scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand." Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, I read an article where someone did a survey and they asked church musicians and theologians who taught in schools. They asked these folks to name the best hymn. Not the most popular hymn, but the best hymn. That is, the hymn that was musically and theologically the most appropriate, and in their opinion, the most significant hymn that we had in the English language. Well, the results were tabulated, and the one that they chose was one of the hymns that we use today. Holy, holy, holy. Now, We read in Scripture that those phrases, that's the Old Testament reading. The prophet has gone into the temple, and before he gets all the way into the innermost section of the temple, he has this vision. And holy says something about God. The center of the temple, where Isaiah is not quite to, the center of the temple is called the Holy of Holies. His vision is not of that space, but it's of the throne room of God. And there are these mysterious beings, seraphs, or if you picked it up from the hymn, sometimes seraphs are translated in the plural as seraphim. That's how you say a plural word in Hebrew. And these strange beings are constantly saying that word, we're told. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. And they're described. Now, in the book of Revelation, John has a vision of heaven, and he sees something very similar. He doesn't see seraphim doing the calling to each other, but he sees what he refers to as four living creatures, but are very similar to seraphim, the way they're described. And they're saying something very similar. Holy, 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 the Lord, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. You'll note that that those words, the word holy, setting God off. And in particular, the use of it three times is sort of the common theme here. The part of the prayer of confession that we use that refers to God wholly in those three sentences is based on a prayer that I found from the Orthodox Church that dates to prior to the third century. So that's a way of saying that the entire existence of the church, that has been a concept that we've had about God, referring to God as holy, 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 using it three times. And you will say that yourself. You know, that's part of our communion liturgy, where we say together, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. That is very consciously taken from Scripture. We say holy. Do we comprehend how God is holy? The prophet has this vision, and the prophet is given this awestruck feeling from being in the presence of God. But sometimes people have a hard time understanding. And in fact, that's what God says to the prophet. He says to them, you will go to the people and you will say, keep listening. But they won't. Years ago, when I was in seminary, the Old Testament professor I had, who was a Roman Catholic priest named Roland Murphy, reminded us, and he made such a point that 40 years later, I can still remember him saying this, don't ever read Isaiah chapter 6 and stop where Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Go further. You have to go further, because the message is hard. Here I am, send me. Don't say that unless you're willing to carry this hard, difficult message. And Isaiah has a hard time with this message, because it is a message that he has to give to the people of defeat, of destruction, the devastation of their society. And people don't want to hear that. It's like God is saying to Isaiah, you can talk all you want, but the people won't listen to you. You can repeat it over and over, but they won't like it. And they won't bother to do anything differently, but keep at it anyway. And that's what Isaiah does. Over time, Isaiah gets into trouble for this. People don't like what he's saying. They don't pay any attention to it, but it makes them mad that he's saying that. He'll be accused of being unpatriotic, of not supporting his nation's foreign policy. Isaiah will be hated, ignored, but time will prove him right. The hard message that he had to give was the message the people needed to hear. Now, like Isaiah, sometimes in the church, we have a hard message to give. We like to think to ourselves that it's a simple, easy message, and that anybody hearing it will agree to it and just fall right along with us. But sometimes the message is hard. We don't need to soften it up. And sometimes we have even modern day prophets that call us to hear the message, then the full implication of the message. We might be willing to say with Isaiah, here I am, send me, and not fully appreciate the difficult message that sometimes the church has to proclaim. I've read a couple of things that have come through the email. One of them was from our conference, reminding us that the month of February in our country is set aside as Black History Month. And it's appropriate in that regard to remember that 180 years ago, So prior to the Civil War, 180 years ago, the church that we're a part of, then it wasn't called the United Methodist Church, it was called the Methodist Episcopal Church, it split north and south because people in the South wanted to keep their slave culture. What they wanted to do was to ignore what John Wesley wrote. John Wesley stated his written opposition to slavery throughout the British Empire and throughout the world. Now the people in the South wanted to still think of themselves as faithful children of Wesley, but they just ignored what Wesley had to say about slavery. We're kind of, as you notice, coming to the bicentennial of that, 20 years away from that event. And now there are still elements in our church that want to talk about division, because there are some in our church that want to exclude people instead of being a church that includes everyone. Well, for Isaiah's part, the hard message comes along with this divine commission, and I think he really needs it. He needs to be impressed with the awesome majesty and power of God. He's utterly impressed by it. These angels speak to the seriousness of the message. When you hear seraphs, don't think cherubs. They're different. Cherubs are those angels that we see at Christmas. They're the fat little cute ones with baby faces and little wings. You've seen pictures of those. Seraphs aren't like that. Seraphs are awful. They got these wings, they've got these eyes, and they've got dangerous powers themselves. Sometimes in the Old Testament, this word seraph is exactly what it says in Hebrew. But sometimes the word seraph is translated differently, because seraph can also refer to some earthly creatures, some really nasty earthly creatures. And sometimes the word seraph in the Old Testament can be translated as scorpion or serpent. These beings, these are not pretty beings. These beings in heaven speak to the seriousness of the matter. God's not fooling around. God's not fooling around with this message that he wants his people to hear. And we do well to remember that as the church. Because when we come to church, we are seeking to be in the presence of God. And all too often, our approach to our worship is to dumb it down and to make it simple and to tame God from instead of being this awesome, utterly powerful being, to being some kind of a version of Santa Claus combined with Merlin the magician. Well, Isaiah knows the difference. And Isaiah knows that he is in the presence of God in this vision. And it makes him very much aware of his sinful state. And that's why he says what he does there at first. To know that we're in the presence of God is to recognize that we are not what God is. That God is utterly and completely holy. That's why the seraphs repeat it three times. Only God is holy like that. None other besides God is holy in this sense of perfect in power, perfect in love, perfect in purity. And yet for all of God's perfect holiness, God does choose to be accessible, to make himself known for us. That holy, 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 the three times we repeat it reminds us of the Trinity. And the second person of the Trinity, the incarnation, Jesus Christ, has his own message to give. Sometimes we forget. It can be a hard and challenging message that Jesus has to say. Sometimes we forget that what Jesus is doing is he is inviting us to the kingdom of God. We should be excited to hear that message. You get a sense of that from the gospel reading where people are pressing in on Jesus so much, they kind of back him up to the lake and he has to get in the boat to give a little bit of space so that he can see all of them, so that he can teach the crowds. So God would not have us be unaware. God wants his message to be known. So God sends prophets in the Old Testament like Isaiah, and sometimes even today at crucial times, God sends those who we would look on as prophets. But for all time, God comes as Jesus to give us a timeless message of the kingdom. Now, we still need those who are prophets to remind us of what it means to be in the kingdom, to see the full implication of being in the kingdom, because it's so easy to go different directions. Sometimes the prophetic voice is not heard by people who want other things. Well, like in Isaiah's situation, a king who is choosing personal power over doing the will of God. What Isaiah finds is that with this assurance of God through his vision, he has this message to share, and he is willing to do it despite all of the hardships that come his way, and he knows that he's going to face them. We ourselves, we can have assurance of the church, and our hope is that people listen, but we are given something more than just that assurance. Now, we start with Jesus. We base our thoughts, we are to base our actions as the church on Jesus and on the things that he teaches and how he teaches about what God wants, the holiness that God would like to see happen with all of us. Certainly Jesus' words should inspire us, and they're the starting point for any proclamation of the church. But we have something more. It's not just listening, but we have something else. What we have are the sacraments. And particularly today, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. So instead of a mere vision of heaven, we have, our understanding is that here is the joining of heaven and earth at this moment. And that as we do this together, we are in the presence of Christ because he promised to be with us when we do these things. We are in the power of Almighty God, the communion of the saints. The words that we say join us. We're repeating the words of heaven, the words that the seraphim started, the words spoken to God in the throne of heaven. A young friend of mine who is in his first appointment following seminary just this past week wrote a commentary that was published online by the United Methodist News Service. Now, I think about people like him and like my son who are kind of at the very beginning and what they're facing given the situation of our church these days. My young friend Chase was writing about communion. He wrote these words that I thought were really good. "We have forgotten to lean into the very practice that brings us into being the real presence of Christ in our communities, regardless of belief, denomination, baptism, race, ethnicity, gender, or sexuality. At the Lord's table, as the Lord's table is just that, the Lord's, so too is the church, not ours, but Christ's." See, in the presence of our holy God, We are the church, and we're gathered to celebrate God's presence in our world as well as in our church. And as God is utterly and absolutely holy, God's holiness calls us to be those who serve the world with the words of Christ by reminding the world the presence of God. And like nothing else that we do as a church, it is when and as we join together with communion that we are brought so significantly into the presence of God that we may share that presence of God with the world around us. Hear then this invitation to communion. Some of you will recognize these words. They are very similar to the words that John and Charles Wesley would have used. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from now on in God's holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. For here is bread, here is wine, here is grace, here is peace. Here is our holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.